Good morning or good afternoon. If you're here on the East Coast, good morning. If you're listening to us on the West Coast, welcome to episode 12 of the Business and Bites podcast. I am your co-host, Emilio Mejia, along with my other co-host, John Hansman from the state of Washington. Today, we have a special guest. We have Cherie Sawyer. She's going to talk about avoiding entrepreneurial burnout. Besides that, how you been, John?
It's finally sunny here. And it's been phenomenal. I don't even know how to say it. Like 3 days in the 70s is like, I think we're all getting the vitamin D overload. And I don't know if you can see it, but you can. I got sun.
Yeah, you got a little color. You got a little color in there.
I'm a little bit like a lobster. And you can see I was wearing glasses when I was playing pickleball outside on Saturday. And I had four people go, man, you got a lot of sun. I'm like, yeah, I know. I'm a white guy. That's just the way it is, you know.
Yeah, we're starting to get humidity here now. But
you really see it. It's great. Like, there's my sunglass line. No, I'm doing really well. I'm just excited to get some sunshine in before it gets rainy again this week. So, you know, we're just moving right along. I'm having a good old time.
All right, well, let's jump into it. Let's go ahead and bring in Cherie. Oh, there you go. That was me. Good morning, Cherie. How are you doing?
Good morning. How are you guys doing? I'm doing great. And agree with John. I'm also in Washington and the sunshine. I've been outside for the last 3 days soaking as much sunshine as I can because next weekend it goes back to a little bit cold and frozen.
Yeah, but it's not rainy over there as much. It's
not as much. We have had a lot of rain this spring, but it's not as much as you guys on the west side.
That's for sure. Yeah.
We just get more snow.
I wish I could sell it to Arizona. Bottle it.
Yeah, we don't like cold. We don't like rainy. Yeah. I'll let you guys keep that.
We're jealous of you in Florida, Emilio.
I'm sorry?
I said I'm jealous of you being in Florida. Oh.
Yeah, whoever I'm on a Zoom with, that's usually the case. All right. So why don't we go ahead and get started? Cherie, go ahead and start telling us about your journey and we'll go from there. And hopefully our audience that's listening, if you're listening live, remember you can post your questions and we can answer them live. Otherwise, then enjoy the ride.
Ooh, I love that there's questions that could come in live. That's exciting. Yeah. Yes, please send your questions in. Well, I'm Cherie Sawyer, and I'm the CEO of Success Without Sacrifice. My business partner is actually on the East Coast as well. She's in Pennsylvania. She is our chief marketing officer, and we help with hiring, marketing, and then life and business coaching. Specifically, our niche right now is women in insurance. But we are starting to broaden that out and work with burnout healthcare providers and CEOs and kind of just women in general. My background and kind of how I got into this. Well, first of all, I have boys who are 11 and 9. We live in an RV and we travel the country. So John and I were just chatting about that a little bit. So we live a life of adventure and freedom, but it wasn't really always that way. I was an athletic trainer. I got a master's degree in sports psychology, and I worked with high performing athletes for about 14 years until I had kids, and I couldn't keep up with that schedule anymore. There were zero boundaries and I got burnout, and I became a stay at home mom, and I thought it was going to be cupcakes and rainbows, and I thought dinner was going to be on the table by 5 and life was going to be glorious. And after 4 months, I hit rock bottom and I was burnt out again. And I realized that I love achieving. I love creating. I love getting to work, and being a stay-at-home mom was not healthy for me. And it was not healthy for my kids. So I started a business. In that season of being a stay-at-home mom, I learned that it became really, really important to take care of myself. As a healthcare provider, I was really good at taking care of everybody else, but I didn't know how to take care of me. And so when I was with these toddlers, 24/7, who needed my attention, and I didn't know how to handle it. My nervous system was in overload, and I learned that in order for me to be healthy for my family, I had to learn how to take care of myself. And in that season, I just thought if I had a bigger house, life would be easier. If my kids just behaved, I would have more peace. If my husband just did X, Y, Z, I kept looking to all of these external circumstances to make me happy, to fulfill me. And so I learned in that season a lot of things. I started a gift box company to really encourage moms to take care of themselves. And after 3 years, I got burnout again. And so I got burnt out.
Can we pause it for a second? I'll put on my notes where we are. But you brought up something very interesting that I think happens to a lot of people. I know it's definitely happened to me. I always say, when I get here, so when I finish paying my student loans, then I'll be able to do this, this, and that. When I move to the new house and I have my own office and my office is not in my room, then I'll be able to do this, this, and this. What do you think are the best ways to combat that?
Yeah. Oh, I love that you pulled that out, because that was 100% me. I was always, even in burnout as a business owner, I think this is really important to pull out, is usually it's the once I hit this income level, then I can take care of myself. Then I can go on the vacation. Then.
Get out of my head.
Yeah. And I think, so a couple things. One, we have to learn how to get present and be present right where we're at, not waiting for the next thing. And that's what I find with a lot of entrepreneurs, especially if they're in the first 3 years of business, 3 to 5, even sometimes. It's always like chasing, thinking that once you hit this 100 grand or, you know, whatever it is, that then you're going to feel fulfilled. And it's just simply not true. And the same goes for self-care and taking care of yourself. People think like, oh, once I have more time, or once my kids are out of the house, or, you know, once I hit this income level, then I can take care of myself. But the thing is you have to learn how to take care of yourself right now, whether you are 1 year, 6 months into business. It is the most important thing you can possibly do. And this is something that took me a long time to learn, because I was really good at getting the straight A's, making the varsity soccer team, getting the master's degree, getting my dream career. What I wasn't good at was resting. I didn't know how to rest mentally, emotionally, physically, spiritually. And I think we think like, oh, we're going to go on vacation, that's rest. But even if you're on vacation, you're still performing. There's still a level of performance. And so how do you learn how to really, truly rest? And it really comes down to, I think, a couple things. Communication. So learning how to communicate your needs, asking for help, and then creating boundaries. And a lot of what I teach and what helped me in my own life is learning, what are my values and what are my priorities? Because if I don't know my values and my priorities, then I don't know what boundaries to set, right? And so I think if you are a new business owner, or wherever you're at in business, learning to create boundaries around your values and your priorities is the best thing that you can do. And when I say values, I mean like, you know, people can say, oh, I value family and I value this. I mean like getting really like nitty gritty on what you value. And a lot of what I do is helping people assess their energy. So what's giving you energy, what's draining your energy? Because when we do that assessment, we can really dig into what do you value, because it shows you what you value, right? And so what I find with a lot of business owners, especially in those, you know, first 3 years, because you're everything to everybody, you have to wear all the hats. And so many hats. And so most people end up in 80% of doing the things that drain their energy, and 20% of everything else. And so my goal is to get people in their zone of genius, which is doing 80% of your zone of genius, right? Your passions and your strength, and 20% of everything else. And that's hard as a new business owner, because you don't have the funds to outsource, delegate, automate all the time, but there are ways to do it. And so, but it's part of it is shifting that thinking of having the belief I can't do it because I don't have the money or I'm new in business. And it's just not true. There are ways to do it. It's just, you just maybe haven't seen the way. And so I think just really learning to be present, whatever goal you hit, and just soaking that in, like, oh, I just hit this like milestone or this goal, and really sitting with that. And because I think as entrepreneurs, as high performers, we're just like on to the next thing, right? We just don't even, we don't even stop to celebrate.
We got to celebrate and we got to appreciate the small wins. I've had to learn that the hard way as well. Yeah.
Yeah, it is. It's hard. It's really hard.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you for touching on that. Just you mentioned it and I resonate with that a lot. I do it all the time. I do it right now. Like we're moving into a new house next month. And that's my thing. I'll have more time. I'll just have more energy because I won't feel so cramped up. And, you know, and I've tried to just start to take things one day at a time and just live in the present, right? Live in the day, whatever it is, and tackle it that way. Definitely hasn't been easy though.
Yeah, no, it's definitely not easy. And that's so... As we're talking about this, something that I created after my third time of getting burnt out was called the RAMP method. Because Amelia, we're talking about like, you find yourself in these like waves, right? When I have the time. And so I find that's where most people really struggle is when I have the time then. And in sports, there are seasons in sports, right? There is an off season, there's a preseason and an in season and a post or a peak season. And every season has an intention. And the reason that there's an off season is because if athletes were to be at their top performance 24/7, they're going to get injured and burnt out, right? So how do we take that and incorporate that into using that as business owners? Because it's a scientifically proven method. It's been used for years. The Olympic athletes who win gold medals, they have the right coach, the right skill set, the right mindset, but they also have to have the right rest to performance ratio. And so I think as people, we talk about this work-life balance that kind of feels like this unicorn that it's like we're always chasing, but we don't really ever know how to get.
Yeah.
And right. And so the balance, it feels hard because people think of it as it has to be this 50-50 percentage. And it's not 50% work and 50% life or 50% performance and 50% rest. That's not realistic. But what if we had a 3-to-1 ratio, just like sports do, right? That is achievable. And every single business has a slow season and they have a busy season and they have somewhere in between. And so how can we take advantage of that and have intentional seasons, not only within your business, but also within your life?
I agree. John, I don't know about you, but I try to, like you said, in waves. So like 1 week, not per weeks, but I'll use that as my example. 1 week, it might be 30-70 work life. And the next week, it might be 80-20 life work. You know, just, you know, maybe just this week, I have to take the kids to more doctor's appointments and I have more things scheduled that I just have to do with my family and life. And then the next week's like, all right, you know, I have events, I have shows, I have the podcast, I have first time appointments, I have discovery calls, you know, I have meetings with my teams. So, you know, just it fluctuates up and down. I like that flexibility as a business owner. I know it's a lot harder when you're an employee to have that type of flexibility, but definitely one of the things that keeps me a little sane, I would say. But, you know, we do have the weeks where we just burn ourselves out and we're going and going and going. To your point of wearing many hats, you know, sometimes I'm like, I don't want to make adult decisions this week. Like, I got to take care of my employees. I got the kids. You know, we got the house stuff. We got the mortgage lend. Like, just too much. I was like, I need a weekend where I just have to rest and just not make important decisions. And, you know, and I hope I'm human that it happens to everyone, but definitely, I've definitely been in that boat.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's a really good point that you made is it's learning to listen to your body. And I think that's one of the best things you can learn to do is learning to have that awareness of, oh, I can't push anymore. Like I have to rest no matter what's on my list. And so my goal for people is really to teach them how to, I explain it as like, you feel like you're bobbing in water. Like if you're in water and there's like waves and they keep crashing you. So instead of constantly being pushed under the water and feeling like you have to come up for air, how do we keep more of a steady keel?
Yeah. Yeah. I think the key is two things. One of the things that we're really working towards in our in our family life and business life as entrepreneurs is really putting some specific time in, you know, where we're actually planning on trips ahead of time. And we're, as our business grows, getting our staff ready so that they can be without us for a week. You know, last year, I think is what it was, I went to Hawaii and I actually was gone 5 days and I didn't check my email until like the last day I was leaving. First time in years being able to do that, but I had good people in place and I had somebody watching over our business to make, you know, hard decisions if they came up. And one of the things that I've been really thinking through lately has been, you know, how we should be setting our business up, thinking about it at least from day one on how we can make our business run without us.
Yes.
And that needs to be, you're not going to get there when you first start. You're not going to jump in your first year of business and be like, okay, you know, it's just going to run. But if you start with that mindset from day one, within 3 to 5 years, you could probably build a business. I'd be reckoned to say you could build a business that could run without you at least for a week or two. Yeah. Like, you know, if you love what you do, you don't necessarily want it to run without you for, you know, for a long time, but you still have to get that time in. And I think that most people, and this is my question, I wonder if most people even realize what the symptoms of burnout are. So that might be something to talk about and cover. Yeah. What are the symptoms of burnout? Because it's not just being tired, right? I have a newborn. Like, we're just tired. That's just how it is. But that's not burnout. That's different.
Yeah. Burnout. Yeah, there's a lot of different symptoms. But fatigue is the big one. Adrenal fatigue for women is a big one. Could be headaches, chronic pain that's unexplainable, a lot of autoimmune issues, stress, like nervous system overload, frustration, anger, getting really like snappy and short with the people around you, whether it's your employees or your family. What else? That's kind of a list of some of the main ones, but, and it's this feeling of, it doesn't matter, like you lose motivation. Apathy is a big one too, of like this, you know, you had this passion and this thing, and especially in the first 3 years of business, like you're so excited and it's new and it's fun. And then all of a sudden you just hit this wall and it's like, oh. And I like to give this illustration because I first saw this happen in sports. And I worked with an athlete who was an Olympic swimmer. He decided when he was 16 years old that he wanted to be an Olympic swimmer. And so he chose the college that I was at, that he came to. And he was already a little bit older. He was probably like 22 when he started. And so his body was already a little bit older than everybody else and starting to feel those aches and pains. But he pushed his body so hard. By the time his sophomore year came around, he was at his peak performance. His body was already starting to struggle. He had had a surgery, but he was knocking it out of the water. He ended up qualifying for the Olympic trials for the Olympic Dubai team. And between his junior and his senior year, instead of resting during his off season, he decided that he was going to work out and push himself harder. And he came back his senior year and he was like, "Sheree, I don't know what's wrong with me. Like, I'm not sleeping well. I'm exhausted. I'm just, something is wrong. I don't have an appetite. I can't perform at the same level that I was." And he was in overtraining syndrome, which is the equivalent to burnout in business owners. He ended up missing the Olympic team by like 0.05 of a second. It was 2 seconds less than his personal best because he tried to push his body harder. And he thought, if I just push harder, then I can hit this goal. And it was all because he just didn't give his body enough rest. And so that's just a good illustration of like, you're at this peak performance. And then all of a sudden it's like you hit this wall and it's just, bam, what the heck just happened? I like to prevent people from getting to that point, but usually the clients that I'm working with, they've hit that wall and they don't know what the next step is.
Wow. I think that's a good segue. Why don't we, you got something, John?
Well, no, I'm just thinking about, I'm not experiencing that now, but I can remember a season where I was literally just like, I don't know what's wrong with me. I can't think straight. I'm not sleeping, you know, that type of stuff. And I know that lately, especially like again, having a newborn, I've been intentional about trying to get more sleep, just trying to get more rest, you know, trying to do things like as simple as like last night. Of course, it's sunny over here, so I just made a little campfire and just kind of hung out and just I didn't even have any music on, didn't have any media on. I just literally just sat and just hung out a little bit and trying to just take those intentional times. And I think as entrepreneurs, if you're most of like me, our brains don't shut off.
Yeah.
Like if I wake up in the middle of the night, I'm up thinking about what's next. And so I've been trying to train my brain to get out of that mode because it does. I think that creates burnout, like just that natural thing.
Yeah. And that's a huge piece of it is the mindset, the limiting beliefs. And that's really the key is getting down to the root cause. I can give you strategies. We can give you the frameworks, but if you don't get down to the root cause of what is making you do the things that you do, why can't you shut your brain off? Why is it hard for you to be still and take care of yourself? Why are you a people pleaser saying yes to everybody and no to yourself, right? If you don't get down to the root of where that is stemming from, then you're going to keep hitting that wall, just like I did. It took me 3 times before I finally was like, what is happening? And for me, it really comes down to I found my worthiness in my achievements. So then I had to go back and ask, well, why? Why did I find my worthiness in my achievements? I have a client, and even before we even started working together, just trying to get her to get on a discovery call, I finally texted her and was like, are we doing this? Are we moving forward? Are you not? Where are you at? And she said, my calendar is managing me and I don't know what to do about it. And it's because she was saying yes to everybody out of people pleasing. And she was afraid if she was going to say no, that she would lose business or referrals. So it's different for everybody. And so you have to figure out where is that stemming from? And where is that rooted? Because if just like Emilio, you had said like, oh, once I get to this, then I will be whatever, right? There's a reason that there's some sort of belief, there's some sort of something that we were told as a child or we experienced that we built this belief. And if we don't uncover that, then you will continue to hit that same wall over and over.
I agree. I definitely agree.
Yeah. So the question is, how do we keep that from happening? How do we keep that from happening? My Lord.
Yeah. And a lot of it, again, it just comes down to rewiring beliefs. I like the, I think it's the 5 whys is what it's called. And so asking yourself, like, why am I triggered by this? Or why am I feeling this way? And okay, well then why? And you keep going down until you get down to that kind of that root layer. Mm-hmm. But it's complicated, right? It's not just like one answer. There's a lot of different things involved. So for me and what I, and I'll just give you the acronym of REST, and this might be helpful. This is something that you guys can take and apply. So REST is so just like the sports season, there's a season for every part of your life and business. And the REST season, this is your slow season, right? And so it's time to rebuild, recharge, refocus, what worked well, what didn't. And this is, you can apply this to your team. You can apply this to your own life, to your family. But also in that REST season, you're asking yourself what is allowed to go in this season and what is not allowed to go in this season, because that's where we get stuck, right? Is we try to do all the things all the time. But in order, and just like you were talking about, John, like you wake up in the middle of the night and your brain is going. And so how do we get our brains to stop? And part of it is creating intention within your life and within your business. There's lots of different like tools and strategies you can use too, but I just like to give this, cause I think it helps people to like, oh, I can have these buckets where these different things exist. And a lot of it is you feel like there's so much on your to-do list and you get to the end of the day and you're like, crap, I didn't get all this stuff done.
Yeah.
So that's why I really like, to help people get aligned with their values and their priorities. So the aligned season is, it's not slow, it's not busy, it's just kind of there, but it's enough time to do team building, to get in alignment with your values, your priorities, and create boundaries around that. And then the master season, so this is the equivalent to the competition season of sports, mastering your energy, your mindset, your communication. And then the P is the peak season, right? So this is the busiest season, taking care of your clients. And this is where it gets really important in each of these of what is allowed to go in this season and what is not allowed. So in your busiest season, there's going to be less time for family and friends. And maybe you don't need to be out networking because that's where all your influx is coming in. That's when you're really taking care of your clients. And it really depends on your industry, right? Of what this looks like. But I think when you can give intentionality and buckets, if you will, then it helps you, you know, when you're in your busy season, you know that you're going to protect your energy in all the seasons, but you're really going to protect your energy so you can take care of your clients and also give yourself the rest that you need at the end of the day. And yeah, that's what's been helpful to me. And again, it comes down to a lot of it is learning to delegate, automate, outsource. And we talked about that's hard in your first couple of years. But a lot of that people really struggle, women especially really struggle with this because of perfectionism and people pleasing and of like feeling like, oh, well, I'm really good at social media. So why would I pay somebody else to do it? And we have to look at the return on investment, right? Like, okay, I could pay somebody to handle my social media for maybe $25 an hour, a VA or whatever it is.
Yeah.
But what could I be doing with that time and energy? If I value, you know, my time at $300 an hour, it doesn't make sense for me to be doing social media, right? And so a lot of it is just getting in and just asking the right questions of, well, why do you believe that? Or why don't you want to outsource this? Or where is that coming from?
Yeah, I think it kind of reminds me of when I first started my business, I was working full time and I hit this place where I looked at my income for my business coming in and all of a sudden it matched what I was making for my full-time job. And I was faced with this question. My coach that I had at the time helped me really look at it. I didn't even really think it. And the question was, hey, look, if you're making this amount of money part-time, what could you be making full time if you weren't working for someone else? And I really think that's a really good point you made about looking at things like social media or looking at things that are not in your wheelhouse. Or maybe you're like me. I could get by doing social media. I'm not going to do it amazing, and I'm not going to put a lot of love and attention into it. But is that really worth my time? Like, I hired a VA to start doing things like that. So she's doing my social media. She's doing a killer job at it. Like, her social media, she's doing backlink research. She's doing a bunch of stuff that I never would have even thought about it. And it's one of those, like, is it really worth your time? And at the very beginning, I get it. Like, if somebody's watching and they're like in their first year of business and they're the only one and they're trying to make their income, you know, just to pay the bills, I totally understand. But there comes a point where you have extra cash flow and you have to decide where to stick that. And I really think that, you know, asking yourself, like, what is it that is a time suck for me? Or what is it that I don't like doing, and trying to push yourself to give that away, give it to somebody else.
Yeah, I thought about this a couple weeks ago. So I've been doing, my focus this first quarter was a lot of networking events so I can, you know, make introductions, meet new people, have warm leads so that, you know, I can start my marketing again, right? My background and John's background is the engineering operations side of things. But then when you become a business owner, you know, you got to take care of the sales and marketing until you make enough to hire somebody for that. So I started that journey in January and it's been good. It's been busy. And then I went ahead and undertook something else on the operations side where we're like revamping all of our tool sets, like from zero to 100. And now this week I'm starting to see like, all right, I bit off way more than I can chew. Like I'm doing way too many things. You know, we just did our first trade show and now all the calls and the leads from there. And now I'm running around like a chicken with my head cut off. So definitely one of those things that you kind of got to set your own boundaries and, you know, and respect them yourself, per se.
Yeah. Being so really clear on, you know, what is that? What does each season look like? And can we handle this? Because that is, you know, all of a sudden you start doing that and you realize you don't have the bandwidth to take on everything that's coming. And it's a good thing. And it's also like, okay, but now what? And I had a client, I was like, okay, I want you to write down all of the tasks that you do. And they're about 3 years into business. And she wrote down every task. And I said, okay, you're going to rate them on a scale of 1 to 5. 5, they give you the most energy. You would do it all day, every day if you could. And 1 is like, you hate it. It sucks all the energy out of you. And so she did, we went through and anything that was below a 4 got outsourced, automated, delegated if possible. And she was like, this is life changing, right? She's like, I didn't realize all of the things I was doing down to, she was ordering inventory for their office. Like no reason as the CEO, you need to be ordering inventory for your office. That is something that can easily be delegated to your team. But part of it was she just didn't realize what she was doing or how much she was doing. And I like to think about, you know, if you have a cup of water and it's full and every little task, whether you don't realize how long it takes, oh, that only takes me 15 minutes or, oh, it's fine, I can do it, like social media, right? But every task, every time you pour out a little bit of water, you get down to the end and there's no time or energy left for yourself. And you can only sustain that for so long until you hit that wall. It's perspective. It's asking that question. And John, I love that you said that you had a coach that asked you, like, what could you be doing with that time? And part of that for most people, and I'll let you answer this for yourself, but it's that safety, security, right? Even when it comes to automating, delegating, outsourcing, it's that safety, security of, but I need this. I need this for my safety, security. So John, I don't know if that's what it was for you, but it's that comfort zone.
I can't hear you, John.
You know, I started with the intention to leave. I think for me, it was that it goes back to kind of what the same way Amelia was talking about. I can quit my job when, you know, I can do this when. And I think the thing was the coach helped me see that my when was right now. And so he really pushed me to actually pick a date and say like, okay, so we're at this point. Now you have to pick a date that you're going to leave so that you have commitment. And then you got to go give your notice when it's time and, you know, go through the process and all of that. I think safety and security. And then there's also, I think within a business ownership, there's this control. Like I'm not a very controlling person, except for when it comes to business things. That's where I tend to be like, well, I know I could do this maybe better myself. Though that mentality in my mind has changed. I've come to a place of now I'm just trying to hire people who are better than me in certain areas. But that was always a thing. It was like, well, you know, I could go do that or I could do better. I know a ton of people who are, well, I could do a better job. So I don't want to lose clients because I can do a better job or whatever that looks like. That's where it's interesting. I think that we have to, I'd be interested in your input on this, breaking down how, say in 3 categories. So you have your entrepreneur, solopreneur just started, and they're experiencing burnout or they feel like they could be on the way. You've got your middle level, like small business owners, got three or four employees, and then you've got your C-level, like they're managing like 20 or more, right? What would be the tip? There's got to be a tip for each one of those that maybe is a little different, that if they're experiencing, or what big thing can they change? Like what action could they do tomorrow that would kind of turn the needle in a better direction for them?
Yeah, honestly, and I would give the same answer for all of them, but then I'll give a little bit different for each of them. And it sounds so simple that it sounds almost stupid, but seriously, assessing your energy. Where is your energy going? And like, what is draining your energy? Because that is going to make it so clear. And I find for the business owner that's in the first couple of years, their energy is usually zapped by trying to push and trying to achieve and do all the things. And I would say for the, you know, if you're in your first 3 years and you don't have the money to outsource, assess your energy. What is the number one thing that is draining your energy that you can offload off your plate? Because that's going to create a domino effect on everything else. And it could be as simple as somebody coming in to clean your house or ordering meals, right? As a female, that's like one of my biggest struggles is meal planning, grocery shopping. Oh, it's so exhausting to me. If I can get that one thing off of my plate, it gives me energy in everywhere else. And so it's figuring out what is that like one energy drainer for you? And then can you trade it? Can you delegate it to your kid, to your husband, to your spouse? We think there's not a way. There's always a way. It's just a matter of you have to be willing to find a way, right? For the mid-level, pretty much the same thing for that, I would say. But as you start to grow a team, whether you're mid-level and you have a couple team members, or you're CEO and you have a lot of team members, more of the stress I find for those people come from their interpersonal relationships. It's the managing people that starts to be the biggest energy drainer. And so part of that is making the right hires and having a really solid hiring process to make sure you're getting the right personality and the right skill set on your team. Because if you have one or the other, it's challenging. And so if you can get the right skill set and the right personality and really understand your team culture, the type of person that you're wanting, that becomes really important. If it's somebody that's already on the team and they're really having issues, I like to come in and I don't know if you guys have ever heard of the book, The Six Working Geniuses. I'm a big proponent of zone of genius and fulfillment, because if you have somebody who's lacking in performance or motivation, it could be that you just don't know how to communicate with them the right way. You don't know how to motivate them the right way, because some people are motivated by money and bonuses and other people are motivated by fulfillment. And there's a lot of different factors that play into that. But for a lot of the business owners that I work with that have team members, it's yes, there's the tasks. And so we have to look at that and start there. But then it's also the employees, the managing people, that they're, especially as a business owner who now you have a team, like nobody's really taught you how to be a leader. Nobody's taught you how to manage people unless you have gone through leadership classes or, you know, something like that. And so I think the biggest thing there is learning one, what are your strengths as a business owner, as a CEO? What are your triggers? Because I can tell you I don't have a team of people right now. We have interns, but my kids, I can relate to, right? Is they do something and it triggers me and then I react. And that's what we see, that same thing in the workplace is an employee does something or says something, it triggers the leader and then they react. And so reaction creates chaos. So how do we be proactive in our leadership and our communication and setting intentions, whatever we're doing?
Well, and I think too, it's a matter of getting creative. Most people are overlooking it. I was doing this. We had a VA on, a virtual assistant on, and talking to her really changed my mindset. I know a lot of people who are outsourcing things to them. So one of mine was, I like social media kind of, but I don't. But it was like, I know that I need 3 posts a week out and I don't have time to do that. And I only want to. So I gave that, I have found a number of those little tasks to hand off that I don't have to think about it anymore. So I think that, most entrepreneurs, even in your first year, could probably afford $500. And if you outsource somebody to do those little things that you don't want to do, I have a feeling that would take a huge load off for most people.
Yeah. Definitely. Even hiring interns. Go ahead, Emilio.
No, I was just agreeing. I said it definitely changes the landscape of things. And more to the conversation, to the point you were trying to make, just take off the things that bring you stress or that when you see them on the calendar, you're like, really don't want to do that. Just move that stuff aside and then let somebody else do it and move on. And sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, and I was going to say, too, along John's point, is there you can hire interns. And when I say hire, you can get interns for free. So somebody that's in a communications or, maybe they're going through marketing, school for marketing. We have 2 interns on our team. We have one for our podcast that we just brought on, and we have one that is doing our social media marketing. So even if you don't have the funds necessarily, how can you exchange either services or, mentoring an intern or something like that, right? So one of our interns, she gets credit, and the other one is not getting any credit and she's not getting paid, but she wants the experience because she wants to be a podcast producer. So there are ways to find a value exchange, and you just have to get really creative in what that looks like. I was going to say something else, but I lost my train of thought.
No worries. It happens to us all the time. Welcome to podcasting.
Yeah.
Well, actually, this has actually been a very great episode. I think we're definitely going to want you on for episode 2. Maybe we'll wait till you release your ebook so that, it's a little bit more valuable for you. Is there any last couple tidbits that you'd want to leave our audience or our listeners with?
Ooh, I think self-awareness, I think, is the number one thing. If you can learn to really start to listen to your body, because we are really good at being in our head, right? Really good at being in our head as high performers. We are really good at time management. And I feel like everyone always talks about like, oh, they want time management strategies or, time blocking. And I'm like, you don't need a time management strategy. You are really good at putting in all of the things. What you're not good at is knowing how to rest, right? And so becoming aware of your body, Emilio, you had mentioned this of like, I realized like I had been doing so many things, my body just needed rest. And if you can start to learn to pay attention to your body, your stress, where it's at, if it's in your neck, is it in your stomach, where does it sit in your body? And you can learn to listen to that and learn where that's at in your body, then your body will start to tell you and still tell you to pay attention. And I think about it like going down a freeway, right? And there's a sign that says, slow down, merge right. But you keep going because you've got a destination and it says, slow down, merge right. But you just go faster and faster until you hit this concrete wall and you either don't make it to your destination. You're either late or you don't make it to your destination at all. And so there's sirens that go off in your body that are trying to communicate to you. You just have to be still long enough to listen and to learn what those are.
All right. Well, everyone, you heard it here first. John, any last comment or question for Sharif?
No, I think this has been awesome. I think that burnout is something we all experience, or we all get at least feeling like we have at least a weeks of that. And I think, Sharif, you're right. We have to just be really self-aware of where we're at. And I think the hardest thing for most entrepreneurs is take time. Mm-hmm. Like, take time to completely unplug. Your business is not going to die if you take 4 hours for yourself.
Yeah.
and just completely unplug.
Somebody told me that.
Somebody said that the week before I went to Hawaii, they said, you have staff, you have people, your business is not going to fall apart in a week.
Yeah.
So it will fall apart if you don't get rest.
Yeah.
It will get worse if you're not there to man the ship long term. So take the short term time to rest so that the long term part of your business lasts longer.
Yeah. And I would say, even if you don't have a staff and people behind you, it's still going to be okay. It's going to be okay. Everything, it will be okay. And that's the biggest thing, is people have that, like, they feel like they have to respond to a text message right away or to an email right away, or they're going to lose business. And it's,
well, and here's, you know, fair point. Yeah, my chiropractor was a solo chiropractor, and once or twice a year he would take a vacation and he would just close the office for a week. And yeah, people got a little upset. Oh, how dare this chiropractor take a vacation? But those same people came back, I've mentioned that I'm going on a vacation, and the overwhelming response has always been, good for you, get some rest. It's never been, how dare you take time off. No one really thinks that. I think that's just a myth. And if it's about marketing or missing business, you just have to put some tools in place to collect that while you're gone and make sure you have a way for people to know, hey, I'm doing this, but I will get back to you and you'll be fine.
Yeah, people will respect boundaries. They think that they don't. People will 100% respect your boundaries if you take care of them. And if you communicate with them.
Yep. Communication. There you go. Well, thanks for being here. This has been awesome. I look forward, because I'm going to be back out your direction here soon. And so we'll connect. I look forward to meeting you guys in person, talking about more RV stuff. That sounds like fun.
Yes. We would love to do that.
All right, Sheree. So I'll give you a minute or two if you want to plug your website, your Facebook, anything you got upcoming, your podcast. Go ahead. The floor is yours.
Yeah. So we're Success Without Sacrifice. So you can find our website, successwithoutsacrificecoaching.com. You can find us on Instagram and Facebook, Success Without Sacrifice Coaching. If you want to find me and connect with me personally, I'm Sheree Sauer on all the platforms. I love to connect. If you heard anything that kind of sparked your ear, or you want to have a conversation, please reach out to me. I love just connecting with people. And I just really have a heart to serve people. This is my life's mission, to help people overcome burnout, because I've been there and it's not a fun place to be. So thank you so much for having me here. You guys mentioned this a little bit. I do have an ebook coming out. I don't have the link just yet. But I will get you the link, but it's called Success Without Sacrifice, The 5 Tools to Help Women Juggle It All. Guys, it'll apply to you too, but our target market is mainly women. And so a lot of it is just touching on those pain points and the struggle that women really have. And yeah, thank you so much for being here. You guys have great questions. You're great hosts, and it was a pleasure.
Thank you. We appreciate that. Well, we'll see you, Sheree. Thank you.
All right. Thank you so much.
Bye. Oh, that was a good one. We gotta invite her back when we got a little more meat and things to talk about. Hey, I can't hear you again, John.
Yeah, I keep muting because there's a lawnmower outside my window. So, you know, and I forget that it's muted. This is the life we live with this. I love just talking about the conversation of burnout, because I know almost everybody in their first 3 years feels like it's happening. And if you were like me, I was working a full-time job and working part-time. And so I was definitely, especially the job I was doing, was feeling it. And awareness seems to be the key to all these types of issues. Like we have to be aware of where we're at in order for us to kind of make some decisions on where we're going and how to keep ourselves secure and safe from just disappearing. I've seen it. I don't know if you've ever seen this before, but I didn't mention this in an interview, but I've actually seen where somebody gets so burned out in the business community that they just disappear and you never see them again. Like they just like or you see them on social media, maybe like doing personal, but they just completely disappear, shut everything down because they burn. They just, it was too much for them. And we're all pursuing time freedom. That's why we started a business. Yet so many people put that on the back burner while they're building. And then they get burnt out well before they should. So
yeah, the first time I encountered it was like you said, when I had the business and my full time employment at the same time.
Yeah.
All right. With that said, let's jump into our cybersecurity news of the week.
Yeah.
We have Microsoft, right? Microsoft.
So I've been listening to a ton of podcast stuff on the content on this. So, long story short, back in October, Microsoft had a data breach, and it seems a lot like some of the other hacks that we've had where people get hit and then it seems like, oh, well, they didn't really get into anything. And then the more and more you dig in, it gets worse and worse and worse. So from what we can see, from what I was listening to, is the root of this was a unsecured test server that didn't have two-factor, and they got in, and that unsecured server allowed unvetted access to executives' emails, some high-level executives' emails, which then allowed them to find things like source code is one of the things that we're hearing about now, and a whole bunch of other information. And so I've even heard of information about other, like that's private of other clients of Microsoft's.
So I was going to explain to our non-techie listeners what source code is. Source code is basically the code on what something is built on. So what can they do if they have the source code? They can kind of reverse engineer things so that they can figure out the easiest ways to find vulnerabilities and to exploit it. So, you know, if you have the source code of something, now you know how to get in through the back door, get in through the side door, get in through the attic. So that's what the source code is for our listeners and that don't.
What we're hearing, and of course, you know, because a lot of this becomes private and companies don't want to reveal all the things that are happening within, you know, within these incidents. But some of what we're hearing suggests that some of the source code that is already being used to create zero-day attacks. So zero-day attack, again, is like this is an attack that's like day one we're just learning about, and it's being used in the wild. It's being used against businesses. And the thing that I was thinking about earlier today is I was like, okay, so what's the value to a business of knowing this information? Like, what does this matter? Well, this, I think it matters in two ways. One, if you're on Microsoft, which is like 3/4 of the world is running their businesses on Microsoft, you should be aware that this has happened, and you want to make sure that you just, you know, you got to think about it. And I think the other part that comes to my mind is the value of third-party tools. So Microsoft does have a lot of security tools. They're one of the leaders in security. They're one of the leaders in providing information about attacks in the world. They are seeing it because their software is on most of the computers in the world. Well, I think when you have a compromise like this where there's source code, this is where things like behavior monitoring, set like, you know, advanced antivirus that does behavior monitoring as opposed to looking for very specific markers becomes really good. Because now you've got a tool that's got a little bit of an AI component to it that can actually say, well, it's not something we know about, but this behavior is a little odd. So we need to flag this and have a human look at it, or we need to flag this, or we just need to put a stop to it because it's just so darn weird that it doesn't make any sense. And this is definitely a security issue. So I think really we have to come down to a place where we realize that third-party tools might be a better thing than there's a lot of people want to put, and I've considered this, putting all of our eggs in the Microsoft basket, using all the Microsoft security tools, using all of it. What if the hackers get their source code for the security tools.
I've had the conversation many times, and you know, I like the Microsoft suite, especially around Office 365, but definitely, you know, I think recently they just announced that they came up with their own backup solution. Like, that's something I might keep outside of it, you know, with a third party. Definitely can't put all our eggs in that basket, but it is attractive.
Yeah, no, and it really does make us really think that we really need to look at making sure we have the right tools. So like if Microsoft is going to come under even more of an attack. Now, my understanding is some of this is retaliation from Russia for some support of Ukraine. That's kind of what we're hearing. But this will be used against small businesses. There's no doubt about it. If a hacking group gets source code for one of the leading software programs that businesses are sitting on, they're going to use it to make money. The question is, what are you going to do to stop them from attacking your own business? And using like free antivirus to run your business, using Defender alone, I don't think is the answer. Because now you've got criminals that actually have the ability to maybe work around that because they know exactly what that main code consists of.
Oh, I agree.
Yeah, we really have to think
about this. That's what comes with your computer for free.
The other thing too is that I keep talking about this with people. Like, we have to have a multi-layered approach to cybersecurity. We can't have I've got antivirus and that's good now. We can't have that attitude anymore because it just doesn't work.
The way I like to paint it to people, a good scenario I give them is I say, you have a house, right? You might have ADT as your security company, but that doesn't mean you don't lock your doors, right? And that doesn't mean you don't lock your windows, and that doesn't mean you don't lock the back door, that doesn't mean you don't lock the basement, that doesn't mean you don't lock the attic, right? That doesn't mean you don't get security cameras, right? Everything is a layer, right? In case, what if I left, yeah, a dog, right? If I left the doors open, well, maybe my camera saw it. You know, if the camera didn't catch it, maybe my motion sensor from my ADT caught it. You know, so different layers of security to protect the different layers of your business.
Yeah, 100%. 100%. I think it's something that's worth watching just because I think we're going to find out more. And unfortunately, it sounds like every week it seems like it's getting worse. Like every week it's like, oh, we found that they got more stuff. Oh, crap. So it's worth looking at. I think if this doesn't tell us anything, it really, really highlights the ability or the need for you to have more than just, you know, a cheap antivirus on your computer. It really means if you have a business with employees, you really need to be looking at all facets of security and not just one simple thing. Because these foreign adversaries are definitely spooling up to try to make more money, and they're finding really creative ways to do it. And one of them is, let's go attack the vendors. Let's literally go into attack the supply chain and get in. And it just goes back to the 3CX hack, right? Like that was a supply chain attack. That was somebody getting into their development server and putting a bug in there. So when it got pushed out, there was a big issue. And this is going to be no different, where this is a supply chain attack. It's just a different
version. A majority of businesses use Office 365 as their email platform.
Yeah, the saving grace for 3CX was two things. One, a lot of people who had 3CX and were reselling it were security vendors like us. So they already had tools like Sophos or you know, our tools on there to monitor. So they caught it. But the other part of it was that it was widely used, but at the same time, it wasn't as widely used as Microsoft Windows. So I think it's just worth looking at, worth keeping on, you know, thinking about.
So I agree.
Yeah.
All right. That brings us to the finalization of episode 12. We made it.
Episode 12. Okay. Well, are we still in season one? Because like I said earlier, I feel like we're in the first season of a really good show, and it's only going to get better from here.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know when our season is going to come to close. Maybe we'll do
we'll have to figure that out. Well, it's usually 24 episodes. So, I mean, we've, I guess we've got another 12 to go.
All right. I was going to take 15, take a 2 week break to get in again, but we'll figure that out.
Okay. Well, hey, always a pleasure. And I'm grateful we had Sheree on today just to talk about burnout. I think it's a valuable conversation. So, stay tuned for next week. If you have questions, if you have topic ideas, or you have a guest that you think would be awesome on our podcast, send us a message, and either on one of the platforms, and just let us know, and we will get them on.
Yes, yes. So tune in with us next week, episode 13, Digital Marketing with Cecilia Robinson, I believe, right? Ceci Robinson. Yeah. Sorry if the name's Ceci and not Cecilia. I apologize. So Digital Marketing next week, 12 p.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific, or 9-ish, 12-ish.
Yeah. I know it is. We just get rolling when we do. So awesome, man. Well, thanks for watching, everyone. And don't forget, you can find us on Apple Podcasts and all the major podcasting places. So if you want to keep up that way, if you're like me and you listen in your car, we'll have this out tomorrow on Apple Podcasts. So thanks for now. And we will see you guys soon.
Later.